This episode takes us to South Africa, where many natives have chosen Ireland as their home. We will look into the reasons why they moved here, as well as the culture and food. So, for the next few minutes, join me on a journey to South Africa.
Because this is Africa.
Joined in studio by Erin May, Tyra and Meryl. Thank you very much for coming into studio today. I just want to start with your mum first. So your family, we're here to talk about South Africa. We were just saying there about South Africa and your love for South Africa. But just about your, I want to talk about your journey and as to why you moved here. So why Ireland?
Well, my girls have Irish passports, so we chose to come to Ireland on that ground so that I would be able to get a stamp for, which allows you to, in the 7 years that I've been here, then to become an Irish citizen. But I really wanted to do it for my children, that they would have a better education and we wouldn't be afraid, because we were always afraid when we were living in South Africa.
A lot of South Africans have moved to Ireland. I know a lot of different cultures and nationalities move here for different reasons, but I think South Africa is unique in that sense. Am I right in saying that?
Very right. At the moment, it's going down quite a bit. They're struggling with the water crisis. They're struggling with a whole lot of, we know, the blackouts, but the crime, and, you know, there's no jobs. So in that perspective, it's really, really difficult for people to be positive in that country right now.
Meryl, when you say blackouts, you mean like electricity blackouts?
Yes.
So,
yeah, so there'd be times of the day you get load shedding, so you'd be without electricity in your house for 6 hours or even more because the country doesn't have enough electricity. So you get a schedule of when you don't have electricity, and sometimes it's wrong as well. So, like, you all the people who are wealthier, most people aren't wealthy, they'd have generators, but most people don't have generators over there. So you have to have cold dinners and stuff like that. Like, we have family who, like, you can't cook. If you get home, and it would be from 5 p.m, and that's the time you make your dinner at, but there's no electricity.
So what was that like for you?
When we lived over there, it wasn't as bad, but it was starting up. Just before we left, it was starting to get worse. And it's awful. Like, you can't do anything. Like, you're just sitting in a dark house.
The great news that you have received recently is that you were officially made an Irish citizen.
Yes, thank you.
Round of applause, round of applause.
It was a tough journey. It's not an easy journey, but if you put your head down and you want that dream and you really work hard for it, I think there's a lot of South Africans out there that know how hard it is. So I walked out there, went straight into a pub and drank a Jameson and a Guinness.
That's the most Irish thing to do.
Yeah.
Before you go, I want to talk about South African food.
I really do miss, like, biltong from home and, like, having a bra with my family, like a nice big barbecue outside.
Okay, if you said that to an Irish person, they'd be like, what? A bra?
A bra.
We'll say no more.
What a bra is called.
Yeah, Erma, you tell me, what is this?
A bra is just a barbecue. Yeah, you say a barbecue, but it's...
It means more in South Africa.
It's the whole thing that comes with the bra is, like, you're outside, you're having a few drinks.
Watching the rugby with your family.
Rugby is probably on. Normally a bra takes really long. So you'll start the bra in the early hours of the day and so we'll have the food cooked by this time, but it's never actually that time. But it's kind of that saying
social.
Of the journey is better than the destination.
Yes.
I don't know if that really applies because the meat is always really good. It might be cold or something, you know.
And I want to ask you, what do you miss about home?
Oh, like my mom said, it's mainly family and friends. And it's like we keep with us this thing of we're South African, and like there's some days you just want to be reminded that you're South African.
Ladies, it was a pleasure having you in the studio. Quick fact, did you know South Africa has 11 official languages and is also known as the Rainbow Nation due to its mix of nationalities and languages? Studio by John and Cameron Chalmier. Cameron is your son.
I moved here in 2020, the 28th of August, in the middle of COVID. So it was crazy times.
And how has the transition been from South Africa so far?
It feels like home. I'm happier. I feel blessed to be here, and I'm really happy.
Cameron, you're here now, and you're working at the moment?
I am. I came over, 2 years, I think. So I came over in 2022.
I actually remember that. I do.
Started work eventually and everything, and I'm landed on my feet pretty much.
And what do you like about Ireland?
Honestly, it's just freeing, mainly. It's just a lot of fun. There's more to do here, I would say.
Politically, maybe, what is going on in South Africa at the moment?
It's sad. It's just corrupt. I mean, from the bottom up to the top down, it's just it's a free fall. The tax money never goes to the people. They just, from the top of the government, they just steal every little bit of tax money. Nothing goes in. A lot of my friends that are still there, some of them haven't had running water properly for 2 months.
Basic human rights.
Yeah, and we have what's called load shedding, which is you don't have electricity for 2 hours, 4 times a day. Some places it's 4 hours, 3 or 4 times a day. So, and it's normally like between 5 and 8 or 6 and 8. So that's when everyone's coming home trying to cook supper. When you get home, there's no lights.
Meryl Spry, who our listeners just heard there before this interview, they actually explained load shedding. And yeah. I heard it in a movie before, and it was like this dystopian movie where, you know, but this is reality.
It is. That's life. And then the water plants aren't actually getting maintained. So the water and the sewerage has been flowing, especially where I come from in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal. Apparently, certain areas like Kloof and Hillcrest, where the rivers are flowing, you can actually smell the sewerage.
Retaining your culture, getting back to that, is so important. What do you do on a daily basis to retain your South African culture?
Cooking the food, like Michelle likes to cook a dish called babuti. When we had International Day at work, she cooked me up a few babutis, and that's. And then when we can get boerewors, it's like a sausage, but we call it boerewors. Boerewors rolls.
I might get this word wrong, and I might butcher it. But is it a braai?
A braai,
which I got that right.
Yeah. Which is a barbecue.
A barbecue.
So yeah, you can braaiing chicken, braaiing any kind of meat. You know, like the Australians say, throwing meat on the barbie. We throw meat on a braai.
Sounds like a normal Monday evening for me, anyway.
And some pup. So we get pup. So pup is like a milli meal, which is like an oat, but it's made out of corn, and it's crushed down into like a white flour, and you cook it till it's like either staver, which is like tight, or you cook it till it's krummel, which is like loose and flaky, almost like a couscous kind of thing. So that you'll have with a tomato and onion gravy with your wors.
John, I'll finish with yourself.
Yeah.
If you have one message to the world, what would it be?
One message to the world: stop fighting. I mean, we all 2024. I mean, we shouldn't have any differences. We should all just want everyone to succeed as best as we all are succeeding in any aspect, with all the wars going on. And even though South Africa is not classed as a war, everyone should just respect everybody else and just, yeah, as John Lennon said, love. I mean, love is all you need. So that's what you should do. And all the senseless greediness should all just go away.
In fact, South Africa is home to the cradle of humankind. South Africa's natural and human fossil history dates back hundreds of thousands, even millions of years. Early dinosaur fossils have been discovered in the Western Cape, and up to 80% of mammal fossils found so far have been discovered in the Karoo.
time for Africa.
Joined in studio by Michelle Taylor and Karen Oliver. And Karen, we go well back. It's so good to have you in studio. But again, this is the third part of our South African International series on WLOR. Again, I'm delighted you've travelled down, especially from Kilkenny, and I do appreciate you coming down. I'll start with you, Michelle. So you're friends with Karen, and you're living here 22 years, I believe.
Yes, and I met Karen outside of Aldi. It's the best thing I ever picked up from there.
What a great way to start this interview. It's just brilliant.
We came over with my husband and three kids, two teenagers and a baby. After apartheid, I mean, we got knocked really hard for being a country that has apartheid. But growing up, you didn't really know that because our culture is very different. If your parents tell you that's the way it is, that's the way it is. You never query. Like if my mother said to me that that cow was purple, you know, it's purple. You don't argue. So we were brought up. My dad used to have a friend, an Indian chap that used to work with him. And we used to go into the Indian area and have lunch. And a couple of times we left late and we would play the game, who could be the quietest, the longest. And we were put into the car under a blanket behind the back seat and driven out. Now, we didn't question our parents about it because that's what we were told to do.
Karen, I'm going to come to you and we'll start off with your story. So you came here a bit more recently.
We'll be here 7 years in October. Also, the trouble in South Africa was just there was no future for our children. It wasn't safe. So we lived in the same house from when I was 4 years old. Lovely house facing onto a green belt. Unfortunately, in that green belt, we had people coming to live there, homeless people that would perpetrate a bit of crime. So I was going out to dinner with my husband and my two kids, and my son was 9, my daughter was 7. And we were walking from the parking to the restaurant, and there were 3 little steps. My husband had a few difficulties with walking in those days. So the kids ran on ahead because they were excited to go to the restaurant, but they weren't far. They were maybe 20 meters ahead. And I glanced back over my shoulder to check my husband was coming up the stairs okay, but I was sort of halfway between himself and the kids. And I turned around and there was a gentleman holding my daughter, and she was 7. And he was sort of grabbing her. My daughter was pulling back from him. And I said to him, "Get your hands off my daughter." And he looked at me with this attitude of like, "Make me." And he slid his hand, because he had her under the bottom, he slid his hand between her thighs. And I could see his hand come up the front of her groin. And yes, a mother will do all sorts of things under those circumstances. The waiters of the restaurant heard me screaming. They came out, they beat him senseless before the police arrived. But after that, there was no staying. My son still has PTSD about it. He won't sleep without a weapon next to his bed. Neither of my kids will sleep in the dark. They sleep in fully lit rooms. And they are now 18 and 16.
It stayed with them for their life.
So we're in the process of getting my daughter some counselling. Unfortunately, as everything here, the health system is slow. But I'm very appreciative that there is a system for them.
Your life seems better now. You're in Ireland. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you miss home. What do you miss about home? A positive, maybe.
Family and food.
I want to touch on the food. And I know you have
different.
You have something in the bag that you brought with you.
So that's something close to an onion bhaji, but it's a little bit different.
Oh, it is spicy.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you can actually get a back home, you get a packet mix of it.
Did you make these?
No. These come from the South African bakery in Thomastown.
If you want to give them a little shout out. I didn't know that.
I actually bought you that in case you ever wanted to go on your own.
Thank you very much.
It's called Lekker Foods. And it's a South African lady and a French man. So they have a lot of pastries and things.
The spice is actually coming on now. It's a bit delayed.
And that's just for you for another day.
Oh, you're
those
so
are
kind.
Little suckers from home.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's so kind of you.
They have sherbet in the middle, which is something I've never found in any of your suckers here.
Suckers are lollipops.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we call them suckers.
Oh, suckers. Very good, very good.
Yeah.
But isn't that just great?
Okay.
Karen and Michelle. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're very welcome, Hal.
It's been an absolute pleasure. One of the best interviews I've done in a while, especially because of the food. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome.